precious things that we have is time. And just to all of a sudden say, 5 minutes. How long is 5 minutes? Not long enough for some. An eternity for others. Children would think it's all week long. But I'd like for us to have an experiment right now. And inside of this experiment, I'd like to carry you to creation. And for 5 minutes, I'd like for you to reflect on the creation of God. Okay? 5 minutes. Reflect on the creation of God and how that He brought you, He made you, and He put you here. 5 minutes. Think, pray, look, listen.
Thank you.
5 minutes thinking about God, thinking about God's creation and what He did for us and where He put us and how that we fit into that plan and how that you are so tremendous in this creation story that God has made you. So when we begin to think about the creation story, we start our study and we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And we're going to beginning to look at the Bible in light of the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Because today's a very special day. Did you know that you here are a perfect 10? That's right. And, well, by the way, just to kind of let you know how people's minds are thinking right now. Today is the day. Everyone here is a perfect 10. But not all are 10 in the same way. But every one of you are more complicated than New York City. In fact, one cell inside of you is more complicated than New York City. And when you begin to look at yourself, all of a sudden we say, man, that must be something. But if you took all of the nothingness out of each of us, everyone created in the world, the distance between particle and particle is mostly space, that you could put probably 4 billion people in a bucket if you took all of the space that's in between the particles. Amazing. God has created you so complex, so beautiful, so wonderful, that you are a 10. Some people look upon this day today as kind of being a day of love. How is that? I read this week where there's 39,000 couples going to get married today. You know why? What's the date? 10-10-10. That's right. 10-10-10. And they say, well, man, 10 is the perfect number. 10 three times, that's bound to be a winner. And so 10-10-10. You are 10. But you know what? We don't have to wait on that. God's already made you 10. He's made you somebody so special, so much in light. But sometimes we don't really understand that. It's kind of like my wife said the other night. I said, hey, Robert, come outside. I'm going to show you something. So I went outside, and she said, look up there. And I looked up in the sky, and you know what I saw? It was dark, and I saw this little white dot out there. She said, that's Jupiter. And I said, okay. And I went back in. And you know, and all of a sudden, but then I got to thinking about it. Jupiter. Well, when I went back and looked, what I was actually seeing, I was seeing Jupiter, and Jupiter is so big that 1,000 Earths could be placed inside of Jupiter. 1,000 Earths in that mass. But all I saw was a little dot in the sky. As we begin to introduce you to into the book of Genesis and seeing the book of beginnings in light of the teachings of the Lord Jesus, it's almost like I'm just pointing out the dot, the little white light, because God is so magnificent. So great that our finite minds could never comprehend. So what should we do? We should investigate. We should look and we should see what God is wanting us to do today. And God wants us to grab hold. God wants us to hold on. And so therefore, what I'm introducing you today is, I believe that God wants us as a community of faith to begin a given direction. And again, we've already been talking about the TA. TA means teach all things, right? Teach all. Teach all. So we're already dealing with that. But I want us to grab hold to something because there's a vacuum of knowledge in our country. There was a recent poll that was taken, and in that recent poll, it said that only 55% of Catholic respondents knowing the core teachings that the bread and wine and the mass become the body and the blood of Christ, not merely symbols. That's the Catholic world. But it said just 19% of Protestants knew the basic tenet that salvation is through faith alone and not our actions. Only 19% that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And 45%, only 45% could name the first four Gospels. You know what they are? Absolutely. Y'all are above. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But 55% of those surveyed, which is supposed to be a snapshot of our nation, does not understand that. And just 55% of all the respondents knew the golden rule isn't one of the Ten Commandments. So therefore, what are we saying? We're saying, folks, we are launching something right here. And as we launch it, it's going to get so big that as I begin to talk about it, all you're going to be able to see is just a little white dot. We're going to discover much about God in these next 15 weeks. The book of the beginnings. And then outside of that, we're going to move into something that's so big with a heart in mind to take the TA into every community in Lowndes County. Now, how in the world can you do that? You can do it with small groups. Now, in my heart and in my mind, we're not on our watch. On our watch, we're going to know God. On our watch, we're going to know salvation is by grace through faith. On our watch, we're going to know what the golden rule is and the Ten Commandments. On our watch, we're going to know Jesus. We're not going to just have Him up here, but we're going to have Him right here. And by the way, on our watch, it doesn't matter to me if you don't know who Buddha is. And it doesn't matter to me if you don't know who Muhammad is. That's okay. Now, I know the intellects and the atheists want you to know all the things so you can communicate to all people. What I want you to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What I want you to know, Jesus Christ and Him lifted up. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to study other religions. Please don't hear that. But I am saying this. Let's deal with what's important. Let's look at that little dot in the sky. And let's say, God, reveal Yourself. Now, if we really believe that, and I do. I really believe that in so much that I believe that every member of this church in the course of a period of time is going to be part of a small group somewhere, sometime during every week. And I also heard about one town, I believe it was in Kentucky, a town of about 17,000, that every person in that town was a part of a small group during a weekly basis. That's awesome. That's TA. That's teaching all things. Now, why would we do this? Why would we grab hold of this and get the feeling of this? It's the reason that we find in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, where the Scripture says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." In this story right here, all of a sudden, God makes it personal. God is saying, look, I want you to be up to date. I want you to be on target. I want you to understand. I want you to know Me. Because when we see this in the beginning is first place, order, and rank. God is to be presented. Hey, let me... You don't have to prove God. Nowhere in the Bible does it you find proving God. All you have to do is present Him. You see what I'm... There's a difference. Now, what happens if the atheist walks up to you and says, hey, prove to me there is a God? You know what I want you to do? Okay? Are you ready for this? I want you to say to him, David, this is what I want you to tell him, okay? Prove there is no God. You with me? We don't have to prove God. All we have to do is present Him. And so the atheist doesn't have a leg to stand on, because the atheist is built on a philosophy. Evolution is built on a philosophy. All we have to do is to present God. And I want you to know that God is able. God is able. How do I know that? Because A stands for absolute. God is absolute. In Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image, or any likeness, anything in the heaven above, or the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, the scripture says, and Jesus said to Satan, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What is absolute about God? God is absolute. There is no other God. Any other God is an idol. God is absolute. Now, I know that's not politically correct in our environment. I really am not trying to be politically correct. I'm trying to be God-honoring. And God-honoring, we deal with an absolute. We understand then that God, He is the only God. And number two, He's able because B, He's believable. What is that? Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. If you seek me, it's believable. You can find God. You can find Jesus. You can know Him personally. He is believable. Why? Because He's absolute. You don't have to try to worry through going through the religions of the world. You already got it. Absolute, number one, God. Believable, if you seek me, you'll find me. And thirdly, why do we know He's able? Because L stands for loving. The Lord, in Jeremiah 31:3, the scripture says, the Lord hath appeared of an old age to me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What are you saying? You can find me, Jesus is saying, because I love you. I'm absolute, I'm believable, and I love you. You. Isn't that neat? And that love will never go away. That love is lasting. Johnny Bo, it's lasting. It's everlasting. I love you. And also, He's able because He's eternal. He's eternal. Deuteronomy says this, the eternal God is thy refuge. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. God is eternal. Have you captured that just for a moment? He's able. He's absolute. He's believable. He's loving. And He's eternal. He's never going away. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now all of a sudden you're locking in. All of a sudden now, that little bitty dot that's up in the sky, Oh, yes, for me it was Jupiter. But for me also, it begins to open up and say, there's so much about God. I want to know. I want to know. And this is what I know. In the beginning, God created. This is what I know. God brought something out of nothing. I like what one of the black preachers said. He said, God stepped out from behind the invisible curtain and spoke and created the world. That's pretty good. God created. He brought something out of nothing. And so what we understand here, that God is powerful. God created something out of nothing, and He made what it's made today is just rearranging out of what is created. By the way, do y'all know the difference between creation and made? Well, let me help you. Creation is bringing something out of nothing, okay? Making is putting what was created together. My wife can make a mean pecan pie. I'm telling you what, she can. It is so good, it almost make you want to slap your mama. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I mean, it is that good. She can make a pecan pie. By the way, when I was in Stark, Florida, they called it pecans. I never figured that one out, but I'm not going there because Jerry Cloward, I'm not going there. Okay, pecans, okay? Makes a mean pecan pie. She made it. Did she create it? No. She'd have to bring something out of nothing, but all she did was took a bunch of sugar and K-Ro syrup and some flour and some butter and some pecans. and she made it. She brought what was created and she made a pecan pie. But God created the pecans. He brought something out of nothing. So therefore, when God created this world, He brought something out of nothing. And all we do today, man, these scientists say, boy, I made this. I created this in the laboratories. I didn't create nothing. They may have made something, may genetically arrange some things. But that which existed, they begin to work with. Well, that carries me to this point, that the fact of our faith now is built on facts. Our faith is built on facts. In other words, our foundation is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, Jesus was in the beginning. And so therefore, our faith and our foundation is in the creation of the world. In John chapter 17, verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Our faith is found in the fact that Jesus Christ was before the world even came into existence. So our foundation's in Jesus. He was in the beginning. He was with God. John 17:24, Father, I will, this is Jesus speaking, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17:24. All of a sudden we see what? Jesus was in the beginning in John 1:1. What? He was with God in John 17:24. And Jesus also was God. John 10:30 says, for I and my Father are one. Now, okay, are you with me? Let me just capture up. The book of beginnings, in light of the teachings of Jesus Christ. So at the very beginning, God was able, created, brought something out of nothing today. We understand it in light of Jesus Christ, who was there with the Father in creation. Now, what's happening right here is that we don't have to prove, but we can present. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Into the Job 38:4, he says, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Hebrews 11:3 Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of the things which do not appear. Our faith in Jesus Christ is now firm, eternal, with God the Father. Now, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How is that? Heaven and earth. God created all that there is. There's not anything created that He didn't create. So God created what is above, and God created what is below, the heavens and the earth. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Listen to this. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. All the gods of the people, idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So therefore, what do we understand about God? He is the Creator. What do we understand about God? He is the sustainer. What do we understand about God? He brings purpose into our life. What do we understand by God? That your identity is found in Jesus Christ, and He has given you purpose. Now, when you think about this, stay with me. In the beginning, God. God created, brought something out of nothing. The heavens and the earth. All things were created. And when He created the heavens and the earth, He put us there and He gave us reason and meaning and purpose. But I want you to see there's a log in there. There's a black hole in there. The Scripture says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." What? God created it? Darkness? Void? Emptiness? Why does He give us that picture? Probably He gives us that picture so that we understand something very important, that God is purposeful in what He does. What did He do? What now? Where's the earth at this verse right here? The earth is what? Help me out here. It's void. It's dark. It's without form. Do you know what that is a picture of? That is a picture of lostness. That is a picture of a man, in the application that we will understand, that is the picture of a man without Christ. What do we understand? What do we understand about in the creation story? Without form means it lies in waste, it's worthless, confusion. A man without Christ. It's void. Void means in ruin and emptiness. Darkness means misery, destruction, and death and obscurity. All of these things are the picture. If you looked into a man without Christ, there's that element of that lostness in there. But John chapter 1 verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he bare witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1 verse 5 through verse 14. Now when this happens, as to the form without void, we looked as a lost man when the world was without form, lying in waste. We are now going to be like Jesus. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. As to the cause of the world being void, Jesus said, John 10:10, I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And as to the cause of darkness, this world was created. Then Jesus spake again and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, capture that picture with me just for a moment. Void, darkness, worthless, light, abundant life, eternal life. In the beginning of the story of the creation of the world, God gave us a picture of darkness. And then He created the light. And for 5 minutes, we looked at that. For 5 minutes, we dwelt and thought about the creation story, the earth. But let me conclude with this last picture. The Scripture says, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. Genesis 1:2. And the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. In other words, God is personally involved in His creation. There is never and there shall never be a time in which God is not personally involved with His creation. That means He's not a God way off into the heavens that doesn't know what's going on. No, the Scripture teaches us that we have a high priest, namely Jesus. We have a high priest who's gone through all things such as we've experienced. And so therefore He's been touched with our feelings of infirmities, according to Hebrews 4:15. And now we see what happened. Well, let's look at the life of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon Him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. The Spirit hovered over. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What happened? In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we see the Trinity unveiled for our eyes to see. Now, what does all that mean? What does all that mean? It means this. When you go out tonight and you look up in the sky, and by the way, I think you can still see Jupiter, right? Anybody been looking? Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you go out tonight, you look up, look toward the east, and you see if you can see that dot. It's bright. It's brighter than all the other stars around there. It's so bright. And then think about the magnitude, how small I am compared to 1,000 Earths, and how great God is, that God created you in His power. God's able, He's absolute, He's believable, He's loving, He's eternal. God wants to love you and walk with you and help you in your daily walk. That's God. That's God. Let's get to know Him, okay? Let's get to know Him. In the book of Genesis, it's awesome. It's awesome. Let's get to know Him. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we're so excited about what God is doing. That Jesus Christ is here today. That God who created the universe is right here. Lord, we must be like a speck, like a piece of sand. But You know us personally. You know our name. You know our thoughts. You know our heart. You know our past, present, future. You know us. And you love us. Father, may we live for you. May we do what you have for us. May we experience the greatness of God and the joy, that flowing joy of Jesus. Oh God, may we get to know you personally, Lord, because you're a personal God. Powerful because you created. Present. We just have to present you, Lord. You got priorities all over the place, God, because you're involved in our lives. Help us to live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we start this moment of invitation, this is what an invitation is about. An invitation is about an opportunity for a man, a woman, a boy, a girl to say, you know, I've been thinking about God. And today I want to say, God, I'm in. God, I want to come in. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. I want to be in your house. When you say, Christ, I want you to come in, he does. And he gives you the abundant life. And we encourage you for that. The prayer altars are going to be open. Maybe special needs in your life that you need. You need to know and experience. What is God saying to you? Let's stand together as people make decisions.